This is episode 4 of IDRA Class Notes.
We remind teachers that by the time their children graduate from high school, they need to have a base of 100,000 words of vocabulary just to get out of high school. And they have to learn like 2,000 to 3,000 words each year. And this is language, this is thinking, this is developing the whole child and getting them ready, not just to pass tests, but for life.
This generation really has grown up in a digital world. And because of that, they are able to bring all that language and everything that they're learning, and the teacher can really bank on that in order to bring in other types of knowledge. And if we don't do that, we're missing an opportunity.
Hello, you're listening to IDRA's Class Notes podcast. I'm Aurelio Montemayor. This podcast is designed to be a tool for public school teachers and administrators, as well as to provide insights into key issues in education in the United States. IDRA, the Intercultural Development Research Association, is in its 33rd year. We're a nonprofit advocacy agency whose key dream is creating schools that work for all children. We do research, materials development, training, technical assistance, evaluation, and information dissemination. Send us your feedback. Send an email to podcast@idra.org. That's podcast@idra.org. Or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts. That's www.idra.org/podcasts. If you wish to subscribe to these podcasts free of charge through iTunes and other podcast directories, go to these websites. Our topic today, reading across the curriculum and technology. We have a history of successful strategies in a project called FLAIR, and today we will have two staff members review key issues that we've learned from our broader experience in reading and in teaching of reading, and very specifically through a project called FLAIR. Dr. Juanita Garcia is an IDRA Educational Associate and develops training materials on cooperative learning and literature-based units, while through seminars and hands-on workshops, she teaches other educators and parents involved in bilingual education. She is a site coordinator for IDRA's FLAIR project and for our Coca-Cola Valley Youth Program. She's been a teacher in several Texas school districts and has served as an administrative intern assistant principal. As an educator, her past 20 years of teaching experience in bilingual classrooms have brought her recognition for her successful workshops in using children's bilingual literature for instruction. Dr. Garcia received her master's degree in liberal arts and elementary bilingual education from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, and her doctorate in education administration from Texas A&M University. Our other speaker is Hector Bojorquez. He is IDRA's web specialist. He guides the integration of technology in providing technical assistance and training. Bojorquez also develops and enhances online databases for evaluation, develops products for delivery in a variety of formats, and establishes communication systems with stakeholders. He has worked in education for almost 15 years. He has his bachelor's degree in English literature from the University of Texas at Austin, and his certification in elementary education. He's taught pre-kindergarten through sixth grade bilingual education and English as a second language. Juanita, Dr. Garcia, tell us a little bit about IDRA's work in reading.
Okay. FLAIR Project stands for Focusing on Language and Academic Instructional Renewal. That is what FLAIR stands for. And what it is a sustained professional development program with a valuing approach to students and teachers. And it is a very comprehensive literacy approach. So it includes reading across the curriculum. The goals of Project FLAIR are to increase cognitive growth and academic growth for all students. and then establish, as I said before, an extensive language across the curriculum program. The program is based on a philosophy of student strengths equal their language, their culture, and their experience. And teachers as leaders, as change agents, and facilitators of knowledge. And school-wide, teachers, administrators, support staff, and parents all working together for children.
What are the key elements of the model? If you would consider this a model, what are the cornerstones or the key pieces in it?
The model, like our Coca-Cola Valued Youth Program, is based on core components and support components. The core are the task force that we call, which is selected teachers by the school or campus that will work together all year in a planning instruction.
Why don't you bring all the teachers on a campus on board with this?
Because in the research that we have found that it is better to start with a small group. And this small group then gets very intensive training. And then the following year, this small group becomes mentors to the new staff coming in. It's worked quite well at a school that we've been at in Louisiana, K-5 school, where we started with a task force of 7 teachers, and now we have almost all the staff, 22 teachers at last count, that are involved with Project FLAIR.
And how do you introduce this program? How do you start it? You have these teachers that are selected, or what, when you go to a campus?
Right. What we do is we have them reflect on what their instructional program is, kind of like a status quo, and we have them come up with an instructional vision that they have, because these are your change agents, they're your leaders, and so they have to have a vision that we're going to, that we want to take the school, the instructional program at the school at. So that's how we begin, and it becomes also like a small learning community, because we bond with each other, we meet once a month, we learn together. I go into their classrooms to demonstrate instructional strategies that we're learning. And we read. We read what's the latest research in reading, in technology, in different instructional methods. So we do bond and become a learning community.
By the way, you mentioned technology. Hector, what has been your role with this particular kind of reading program?
My current role with FLAIR has been to try and integrate technology into the reading strategies, and also into the staff development at this particular campus. This is our first year in doing this, and as we started, I thought of our efforts as mainly, you know, trying to do what I consider to be kind of traditional technology integration. But the more work I do with this particular campus, the more I realize that technology integration, as we've seen it, can really help to be a catalyst to transform teaching strategies from a kind of stay traditional thing, practices, to more learner-centered practices. So because the students really latch onto technology, the teachers are then forced to try to transform the way they approach reading. So, for example, a very traditional building background knowledge activity, where we'd ask students to look through magazines or look through whatever in order to gain some background knowledge, or even activating prior knowledge, is really transformed when you ask them to go online to search for this. And in one of my last sessions with students, the teachers were just surprised. Kids were terribly excited that they were Googling for something, where before this activity that they had, very traditional to build background knowledge, was, you know, typical. And that kids were just jumping up and down that they were doing this on a computer.
Dr. Garcia, what have you seen in terms of happened to these teachers with this speeded up or accelerated integration of technology?
Well, this staff I know really well because this is the 5th or 6th year working there. I'm kind of like part of the staff already. And what I noticed when Hector initially started the work there in August before school started, I noticed that the excitement, the wanting to be there, and it was, I mean, we had over almost 20-something teachers that showed up before school started. So I saw that and how they really connected with Hector, and they were really learning and really interested in applying this in their classrooms. So that's what I noticed, is the motivation, the interest that was there.
Okay, so Juanita, you mentioned the first core component, but that is the task force. That group of teachers is selected from a campus representing each grade level. What are the other core components of the project?
Okay, the other core components consist of strategies training. These are research-based instructional strategies. The lesson demonstrations and debriefing, which are a big, major part, because we actually go into their classrooms and demonstrate these strategies with their students. And then the coaching and mentoring piece, which is kind of begins in the second year of the project. It is a 3-year, but for best results, a 3-year project. So the coaching and mentoring piece that begins as the teachers take on mentors, mentees. And then study groups is another core component that also begins. Actually, we say the second year, but I have found that we really can bring them together and form study groups the first year, because we're doing a lot of reading in the latest research. So those are the core components.
It's interesting because right now professional learning communities are very much in vogue. I know, for example, Houston Independent School District last summer trained all its staff, representatives from every single campus, in terms of building a professional learning community on campus. And what I see here is you have some of the key elements of a professional learning community already woven in.
Exactly, exactly. And this year with the school in Louisiana, we're just not only studying readings, we're actually reading a book, What Successful Teachers Do, and we take chapters each month, and we have literature circles and discussions around that.
So you've been doing this not just in Louisiana, but in schools in Texas and different cities, different school districts. What results have you gotten? What tells you that this is a good professional development approach?
What we've done is we've done some quantitative data, but what we've used is more school-based, like reading assessments they have on campus. We take baseline where they were at, and then with the school in Louisiana, after 3 years. And we found that in each grade level on their reading assessments, they went up on each for their reading levels. And then their state test is the LEAP at fourth grade. And we also took those scores and found that each year they improved. Out of 53 campuses or schools in this parish in Louisiana, our school is ranked number 3. Which is probably exemplary here in Texas.
Are the children middle class, or is it a Title I school?
It's a Title I school demographic. We have English language learners. We have all different socioeconomic. So it's a good mix.
Okay.
We have all that data as well as with
the
demographics.
So that at least from the terms in terms of student outcomes, there's some significant growth there.
Growth, absolutely.
Okay. So in terms of this model, and Hector, jump in on this one also, is what do you see as when IDRA goes and works with a campus in this kind of comprehensive way, what are the key pieces in terms of what we do in support of this effort?
You mean as when we first go in?
Or? Yeah, from soup to nuts. In other words, when we first go in, what is our role? What do we do?
We're like facilitators. I'm going to just talk when I first went in to the school in Louisiana. I wasn't like the researcher here or the carrier of all knowledge that I'm going to come over here and I've got all these wonderful things. No, it was kind of like getting them to understand that we're all going to learn together. I'm just going to facilitate their learning. We're going to have fun doing it. We're all on the same, we all have the same vision. The same goal is that we want the best for our children. Bottom line, if we've got that and they know that we are sincere about it and that we're working just as hard as they are for that, then that's how we approach the professional development.
Hector, what would you like to add in terms of IDRA's role and the many hats we wear in this relationship?
Well, coming into this particular organization, I mean, this particular effort in Louisiana, it's building upon what's already been going on. So I come in and start looking at, okay, well, what is it that you're doing in instruction? So I sit and observe for a couple of days, and then I approach teachers, well, how do you think we could integrate technology into this? And from those conversations that we have, after we've done some preliminary kind of technology integration workshops, that's where we decide upon a plan of what we're going to do. So it's rarely ever that I would come in and say, this is what you need to be doing. It's more of, with what's already been learned through FLAIR, what is it that I can bring in to help you truly integrate technology authentically? And it's, so my role's actually been of, okay, what is it that you think should be going on? And out of that, there's been a lot of growth.
Well, it's really interesting because, Juanita, you use the word facilitator, and so the facilitator is somebody who comes in and causes things to happen, but is not taking on primarily the role as an information giver. But then on the other hand, we do bring the best current research. We do bring to them information and knowledge for them to think about, to read, to think critically about. And also, but we don't have a cookie-cutter approach, and nor do we consider this a silver bullet that's going to solve everything. We observe, Hector, you were saying, you go there. Hector, you know a lot about technology. You've used it in the classroom. You have quite a bit of experience in terms of how it can be used in the classroom and the children can use technology. You also have a lot of information in terms of creating new products through the technology. But neither you, Juanita, as an expert in the area, certainly in children's literature, and Hector, you in technology, you bring your content experience and your expertise, but it's always somehow connected with what you observe, what they need, what they say. So there's a real adaptation and integration to the context. So we neither abdicate our role as bringing in clear information, but at the same time, we have to be facilitators, as you said, Juanita. So that seems to be something there. The other part that you mentioned earlier that I think, and I'd like to both of you talk about it, is we've experienced many experts who come and do their presentation or present their package and leave. What I hear both of you saying is you are in the classroom. You do things with the children that the teachers are teaching. You talk to them. They observe you. You have debriefings. There's a very strong relationship there. And there's, what do you call it, serendipity. Things happen in the moment. Mm-hmm. Would you like to say more about that?
I can't imagine any staff development or professional development model that does not have a practitioner-based model that can actually yield any results. If you don't know, if you're not really involved with the practitioner, if you just come in and say, this is what needs to happen, nothing happens. If there's not a strong practitioner basis for what's going on, and you're not there sharing your knowledge and their knowledge and coming up with something together, I just don't see how there's much chance for transformation. Otherwise, it's just one-shot deals, you're in, you're out, let's go.
I think that's very important because right now, certainly in Texas, a lot of teachers and campuses are beleaguered. They're hard-pressed to do well. They have a sword hanging over their heads, and I think the LEAP test in Louisiana, every state that has a high-stakes test, those campuses are especially if they have poor children, children with special needs, English language learners, they feel they're really under the gun. So to not acknowledge any of their experiences to increase their, I think, their despair or their pessimism.
Yes, well, I think it speaks to kind of IDRA's model, valuing model, where we not only value the children, but we're kind of modeling this valuing by the way we're valuing teachers' experiences.
And Juanita, you said something earlier that this is not just about reading class or ESL. Say more about that.
It's just developing children's academic language. You know, it's in any kind of either English, Spanish, whatever. But it's developing their academic English.
So that's science, math, social studies across the board.
Vocabulary, because you know all the research out there, and we remind teachers that by the time their children graduate from high school, they need to have a base of 100,000 words of vocabulary just to get out of high school. And they have to learn like 2,000 to 3,000 words each year. And so we just kind of, this is language, this is thinking, this is developing the whole child and getting them ready, not just to pass tests, but for life, because that's what they're going to need.
In your very last visit, Juanita, to this site that you've been referring to, what specifically did you do and see there? I mean, what was it like?
I worked with first grade, and we did a, of course, technology integrated lesson on the story of milk. And we took a virtual...
On the story of leche, of milk?
Leche.
Okay.
And we took a virtual field trip through the internet. And what I did is that Hector had given them a Microsoft lesson site on our portal for FLAIR Technology. And I took a couple of lessons from there and showed them how to deliver these lessons a la FLAIR, we call it, using FLAIR strategies, cooperative learning, you know, higher order thinking, listening, speaking, reading, and writing integrated. So that's what I did. And then in fourth grade, I think I did the story of bread.
How wonderful.
Really
milk
cool.
and bread was your
milk
theme.
And bread. Bani
yes. So. Well, I think we're a little bit close to the end. Are there any recommendations you would want to make to the listeners if somebody from a campus is really concerned about the reading skills of the children there? What are some recommendations you'd like to make at this point?
Well, we need to be working across grade levels. We need to all be working together, everybody connected. Learning has to be connected. So we really need to bring in the grade level chairs together, the kinder, the pre-K, kinder, first grade, second grade, on through whatever grades, teachers together, and come up with an instructional vision and then go from there and build on their strengths and on their needs.
Thank you. Hector?
It strikes me that I think what people need to be doing across the board, regardless of where you're at, is really to recognize what children are bringing, what background knowledge they are bringing into the classroom, regardless of where it comes from, and use that to the best of whatever ends you need to. I mean, the reason that I love technology so much is because this generation really has grown up in a digital world, and because of that, they are able to bring all that language and everything that they're learning, and the teacher can really bank on that in order to bring in other types of knowledge. And if we don't do that, we're missing an opportunity.
Thank you both, Dr. Juanita Garcia and Hector Bojorquez. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.